First Peter chapter 5. Now I'll tell you what we're going to do this evening. Lord willing, sometimes when I say this it don't turn out like that. Lord, I'm going to be very brief this evening because we're going to get up some groups here in just a little bit. See who's going to be doing what in the next few weeks. So I won't be preaching long, I don't reckon. I ain't planning on anyway. But I just want to give you a few thoughts, real brief, that the Lord's given me. So you got to listen very carefully as I'm going real briefly over them. Now I want us to think about our verse. They're using this verse as a theme verse up in the children's church, junior church, these few weeks. 1 Peter 5, verse 7. The Bible said, "Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." You were here this morning, you heard me preach on, does anybody really care? I talked about how the Lord does care for us. I want us all to read that verse again. Be a good one for us to memorize. So let's all read it together. When I start, you start. We'll say 1 Peter 5:7, and then read it all together. Okay, you ready? 1 Peter 5:7. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. All right, let's try it again. You ready? 1 Peter 5:7. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. All right, now look up here at me. You ready? 1 Peter 5:7. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Close your Bibles. Ready? 1 Peter 5:7. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Let's do it again. 1 Peter 5:7. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Now I want to hear you do it. Ready?
1 Peter 5:7. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you.
Amen. That looks pretty good. Some mouths are not moving. You got lockjaw or a bad memory. Or something, but we'll try that again. One more time. Here we go.
1 Peter 5:7.
That's good. I want to bring you a brief message this evening on this question. What would happen if nobody cared? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we bow before You this evening, God, we thank You for the opportunity of being in church. Lord, I'm glad that somebody did care. Oh, God, this evening, Lord, we realize and know that but for the fact that You cared for us, You'd have left us alone. We'd have died in our sin and went to hell. But I'm so thankful You said that You care for us. God, I'm glad that You cared enough to go to Calvary. Shed Your blood for our sins, that we could be saved. Now, dear Lord, we ask You to forgive us of every sin, every thought, every imagination, every intention, every deed, every desire, every word that we said, everything that we haven't done that we ought to have done. God, everything we've done we shouldn't have done. We pray in Jesus' name that You'd forgive us right now. Thank You for these that are here. Thank You for the work of God in this place. Now, oh God, I pray that You'd move on this congregation. Do what ought to be done. Change our lives. Give us a burden for souls. And help us to do it in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. I want to ask you a question this evening briefly. What would happen if nobody cared? One of the most terrible things about the period called the Great Tribulation in the Bible will be the fact that the Holy Spirit of God has been removed from this earth. When the Holy Spirit of God goes and the Christians goes, much of the concern and care, not all of it, will leave this earth. I believe we're seeing a time when the Holy Ghost is being grieved, and we'll see in that day, or they'll see in that day, what kind of world it'll be like when nobody cares. I believe there's a lot of Christians tonight that really don't care about anything but theirself. They say, well, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. My sins are forgiven. My name's in the book of life. Why should I knock my brains out or do things to help other people? It's their fault they're in the mess they're in. They could be just like I am if they want to. And they have the self-righteous attitude that if a person wants to get straightened out, they can just run to church and get right with God. But they don't realize it's not that easy. And they have the attitude that as long as I'm what I want to be, I don't care what happens to anybody else. The Bible said in the last days, because iniquity would abound, that the love of many would wax cold. Now you listen real carefully and be still now and pay attention as I just bring you very briefly a few things. Somebody said one time, they made a great statement. The great statement was, wickedness will flourish when good men do nothing. Wickedness will flourish when good men do nothing. That means that all that has to happen for the devil to take over the world is for God's people to sit down and do nothing. That means that all it'll take for sinners to go to hell is for Christians to sit back and not do anything. That means that all it'll take for the devil to take over our school and our land and our society is for Christians to sit down and do nothing. And you know as well as I know, that is the very philosophy most Christians have. You're doing well nowadays to get most of God's people to come to the house of God two or three times a week, let alone get out and do something for God. I'm telling you this evening, being a Christian is a lot more than what you don't do. I've had it up to here with these people that saying, well, I'm a Christian. I wouldn't be caught dead doing this. I wouldn't commit adultery. I wouldn't drink liquor. I wouldn't do this. I wouldn't lie. I wouldn't rob a bank. I wouldn't be involved in these hideous sins that other people involved in. I wouldn't smoke dope. I wouldn't cheat people or steal something or murder somebody. And all that's great. I'm proud of you. I want to ask you a question. What in the world are you doing for God? I'm not interested that much in what you're not doing. I want to tell you something here tonight. I doubt if there's many people in here that have committed adultery in the last week. I doubt it. I wish I could say I know there's nobody. There's probably an old stinking skunk in here somewhere tonight. And you're going to get what you're coming to you. Don't worry, kiddo. You ain't got it here. I wish I could say that nobody in here had told a lie or murdered somebody or messed around with drugs. I wish I could say that. But I believe I could say that for the vast majority of you. I'd say probably 90% of the people in this room in the last week have not been drunk. Have not been high on drugs, have not been there, have not killed anybody, have not robbed any stores, have not cheated the government or anything like that. But I want to ask you a question this evening. Do you realize that most of people's sins that come to church regularly are not things that they do, but rather things that they do not do that they ought to do? Most of you people sitting in front of me tonight, you live pretty good moral lives. I mean, brother, you don't do all these things I've been talking about, and it would shock you if you even thought about it. You would ask God to forgive you if the thought ran across your mind to do them. But I want you to know tonight, the Bible said, he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Did you hear me? Did you hear me? God didn't say, if I show you a bunch of stuff to do right and you don't do it, it might be displeasing to me. God said it is a sin. Just like murder. Just like adultery. Just like drunkenness. Just like idolatry. Just like lying. Just like stealing. Is to know you ought to do something right and not do it. Wickedness flourishes when good men do nothing. And if you want to see the devil take over McDowell County, I'll tell you how to let him have it. Just sit back and say, hallelujah, I'm saved on my way to heaven, and I'll just keep my religion in these four walls. I'll never go out and do anything for God, and the devil will take over. You know why the charismatic movement don't bother the devil too much? On the normal. I'm not saying all of them like it. Lord, love the Lord, do something. I can say independent Baptist would be just as right.
is because a lot of those churches that get real emotional, I'm not against emotion, we're running around here this morning, man, had a time. If you want to run the aisles, help yourself. You deserve it. If you're saved, you got every right in the world too. But the devil don't care how excited we get as long as we keep it in here. The devil don't care how many times we say amen, as long as we never get it out there and try to get another soul out of his old paws to keep them out of hell. No, sir. The devil don't care. Wickedness will flourish when good men do nothing. I want to say tonight, what would happen if nobody cared? I'm telling you tonight, brother, if nobody cared, this church building wouldn't be here. I'll guarantee you that. This church would not be here if somebody didn't care. When I look around here and I see the people, I look around here and I see men who literally spent hundreds of hours up here working, sawing, putting up sheetrock with not one dime of pay in this life. I see the ladies that come up and cook meals week in, week out, gave their money, bought ham, bought cheese, bought sandwich stuff, bring it out here and fix it. When I see them doing things, I let me know, brother, that if nobody didn't care, if people didn't care, this building would never be here. We'd never be able to pack 800 or 900 people in here, have a revival meeting in a few weeks, and see brother other churches revived and blessed. If nobody cared, none of that would be going on. Nobody cared, there wouldn't be no New Manor Baptist Church. Nobody cared, there wouldn't be no church nowhere. I preach a message sometime. I ain't preached here in a long time, about 6 years ago. About time for it again, maybe. And the name of the message is, what kind of church do you want? And the theme for the message is, what kind of church would my church be if every member were just like me? I'll tell you what it'd be like. If every member is like some, nobody'd be here tonight. Amen! If it was like some, our offering would have been zero today. In about 2 weeks of that, our lights would be out and we'd be in court. Thank God everybody ain't like that. Thank God somebody cares. Thank God somebody says turn the lights on. Thank God somebody put the parking lot. Somebody bought the land. Somebody bought the seat. Somebody cares. I tell you what, brother, if nobody cared, you talk about a mess. We'd be in it. Both Christians are satisfied to sit back and let a handful do the praying. Let a handful do the working, do the witnessing. God, I'm glad. May God help us not to get like the majority of the crowd who sits and does nothing from 1 week to the next. You're not going to come here to this church and not get gouged once in a while to get up and do something for God. You know what causes churches problems? They sit there and sit there and sit there and sit there, man, till they stagnate. Won't do nothing for God. They know every verse in the Bible. They've heard every sermon the preacher can preach. They know it all. And there's a backslid in their heart. They ain't got nothing else to do but find fault with somebody else. I tell you, brother, that ain't the kind of church God wants us to have. He wants us to have a kind that cares and prays and works together. And everybody does something for Jesus. What would happen to our government? Nobody cared. Lord, help, it's in bad enough shape as it is. I will say something right here. Jerry Falwell gets kicked every way he turns. The liberal crowd would kill him if they knew they could get away with it. Larry Flint, Hustler Magazine, they'd have Jerry Falwell skinned alive and crucified, brother, if they could get by with it. Church people criticize him. Preachers preach against him. You know why? Because Jerry Falwell is trying to get some morality back in our national government. Now, you listen to me tonight, and you listen real good, friend. I don't necessarily agree with everything Jerry Falwell believes. I'm sure there's many things I disagree with. I, personally, as far as a preacher, you know, I I can do without him. But I tell you what, I thank God there's a man somewhere. But did you know because of his influence, what they call the moral majority and Christians and fundamental preachers getting out and voting and putting Christians in office and that type of thing? You know that's why you don't see pornography on our shelves anymore? You know, because somebody cares. Thank God the low-down, wicked, naked people is out of the front of our kids' eyes right now again, like it ought to be. Do you know, brother, they shut down the adult bookstores in North Carolina as far as the majority of them concerned, then Hickory and Asheville, because somebody cared? What would happen if everybody was like some? Well, they just sit back and say, oh, well, sign of the times. Let the devil have it. Thank God somebody cares enough to stick their neck out. Brother, our government's far from perfect. Don't you let these bunch of idiots feed you that baloney and misrepresent our Constitution and take it out of its context and say, listen, if you listen to that crowd, they'd have you believing Christians shouldn't vote. The homosexuals push their crowd. The black people push their crowd. They're talking about being prejudiced. Can you believe that? If a black man runs for president, 90% of the blacks would vote for him just because he's black. And you know that. I think it's black, but you know, I think everybody's saying all that as far as God's concerned, our soul's concerned. I'm making a point. If a homosexual runs for president, he'd get 99.9% of the votes of the homosexual. But you know why? They're prejudiced. So what's wrong with a Christian voting for a Christian? I never tell nobody who to vote for. You do what you want to. But thank God somebody cares. The Constitution of the United States says absolutely nothing about Christians in politics. It ain't in there. The Constitution says Congress shall make no law regarding an interference with religion and the free exercise thereof. You know what that says? Government has to keep their nose out of the church. It doesn't say one thing about voting for a man because he stands for right and truth and all that. Better, what would happen if nobody cared about our government? What if people said, well, you know what the Jehovah's Witnesses teach? They teach that it's wrong for a Christian to vote. What if we all just sat back and took that attitude and said, well, it don't matter. This world's not our home anyway. Just let them have it. You know what they'd do? They'd tax our churches. Brother, they'd run this God and our Bible. They'd shut our doors if they could get by with it. This is an independent Baptist church, meaning that we are not connected with any denomination, any association. We just operate just like we believe God wants us to operate. We answer to no outside body or government. These doors are open for whosoever will. These lights are on. You're free to worship God here. You know why? Somebody cared enough to stand for right, and we've got our freedom tonight to worship God. What would happen if nobody cared? We wouldn't have it. What would happen if nobody cared about our schools? What would happen? I believe in Christian schools. My daughter's in Christian school. I'm all for the Christian school movement. But you know what? I thank God there's some Christian kids in the public schools to be a witness. What would happen to the schools if nobody cared? Brother Rick over here gave a testimony. Told me the other night that one of the girls, I believe it was Teresa, wouldn't you say, used to invite you to come? And Teresa, used to invite him to come. Ain't you glad she cared about him? I want to tell you something, kids. They won't let Brother Danny in the school. Wonder why. That's discrimination. I won't be up there to give the baccalaureate address probably in the next 200 years. Somehow or another, Our kind just never makes it in. I can't go. They won't let us. You know who's left up there, don't you? You boys and girls here that go to school. When they see Jesus in your life, that's what's going to change them. The devil's got them boxed off, alienated from the churches, from the gospel. And I'll tell you what, they might not let you say the Pledge of Allegiance or hold your Bible out in class no more, but they can't stop you kids from witnessing. You can't do it. You can talk to your friends about anything you want to talk about. And then you get them in the lunchroom and say, friend, somebody cares. Jesus cares. And I care. Hey, can I tell you about something? Somebody cares. If every one of you young people would go to school this week with the attitude that it doesn't matter how embarrassed you get, it doesn't matter how your flesh squirms, that you're going to bring it under subjection and sit down and sit down beside a friend and say, somebody cares about you. Jesus cares. I care. There's no telling what kind of revival God may send. What would happen if nobody cared? When I went to school, I went to Nebo School, and it became McDowell High the year after I graduated. I never remember one time in 12 years of school, 3 years of high school, not counting all the years I failed. No, I'm just kidding. I never remember one time in 12 years of school anybody ever sitting down beside me in the lunchroom, at break, in homeroom, in the hallway, and ever witnessing to me. Not one time. Not once. Never, never did that ever happen. Things might have been a little different in my life if somebody cared for me. The boys that I went to school with that got killed in car wrecks right after we got out of school. I'm thinking of one right now. We used to give him a real hard time at school, and people beat him up and made fun of him and everything all the time. And he's a pitiful boy. And right after we got out of school, he was killed. Lord, help, folks. Wonder if anybody ever witnessed to him. Wonder if he's saved. What about our homes? What would happen if nobody cared about our homes? I'll tell you what happened. Our families would be slaughtered by sin. Bus workers, what will happen if you don't care? These boys and girls all around this church, within 10 miles of this church. Folks, in a small town like this, you can't get too personal, but I wish I could tell you some of the things they run into. I've seen I've heard them tell stories years ago how they had a little kid out about 2 miles from here. And right out the back, through the window in the house, you could see nearly nude men up on the table dancing in the house. And here goes a little old child getting off a bus that high, going into a mess like that. What's going to happen to a kid like that if nobody cares? What's going to happen? We're going to sit here, hallelujah, praise God for a spiritual. We're just going to sit here and let the devil destroy them. I'll tell you one thing, if we do, we'll answer to God one day for it. The blood will be dripping off our hands. You've got a responsibility. As a little old boy used to come to Sunday school years and years and years ago at a church out in Texas. Little Johnny. Little Johnny is a little rowdy little fella. But they kept bringing him, trying to help him and show him that they cared and loved him. And
kind of brought him to a kind of a real, kind of a nice, dignified uptown church.
They said, now, and somebody come out one time and said, if you bring that kid back in this Sunday school one more time, I'm taking my family and I'm leaving.
Up down the street out here on drugs. I seen a boy this evening. I seen two of them. One walking up East Court Street just like this. I seen them going down that street out there like this right here with a wine bottle under their arm. I seen them laying out here as a beer bottles out here on the back of our parking lot on Monday morning when we come in sometimes. Just off the side there. I'll tell you something, folks. I'm preaching to me. I'm preaching to you. God has given us the opportunity of being the instrument of soul winning and Bible preaching and getting people saved in this community, and we better not take it lightly. Amen. Don't sit down and say, well, other people will do it. Don't sit down and say, we got enough on visitation. Don't sit down and say, somebody else will drive the buses and we'll knock on the door. Ain't you glad somebody didn't take that attitude that came to your house and invited you to come and got you saved? Why do we seem to get over it after we get saved? Why is it when after we've been saved for a while that we kind of feel like everything's okay and forget there's hundreds of people out there that were just like we were before somebody come and told us about Jesus? What would happen to our homes if nobody cared? What happened to our churches? That's why a missionary, I believe it was a preacher, said one time, I'll make the floor my bed and a box my table and chair, that men wouldn't perish for the want of the knowledge of Christ. And I'm going to say this and I'm going to be through this evening. This week, folks, I don't know what some of you think. You might not believe this, but I'm telling you the honest truth tonight. I try my best. I am trying by the grace of God to do as God had had me to do. I hate being gone. I hate not being here on Wednesday night. Lord knows it tears my heart up. Boy, I think about other churches. They're dry and say, Brother Danny, could you come and help us? Sometimes I want to say no, and God won't let me. You may not believe that. It's a truth. It's a truth. I said, God, you called me to preach way back yonder 13 years ago. God, you're big enough. Lord, you open the door by the grace of God. If it's in China, wherever it might be, if you'll make a way for me to get there, God, I ain't going to let things stand between me and preaching the gospel. That is the greatest thing a man could do. The greatest thing that a person can do is stand and preach that book right there. That'll get the job done like nothing else. That'll want to bring revival. That'll change communities. That'll touch lives. That'll start fires in churches. That'll settle problems. That'll take care of disputes. That book right there. And sometimes when you really don't feel like it and you go ahead and do what you're supposed to, that's when God will bless it. So, somebody, listen to me now. Listen to me. I know it's hard for us right now. The devil's trying to do everything he can to fight. He don't want us to take off like a rocket here tonight. But when you don't want to visit and you go anyway, that's when God blesses. When you don't want to pray, when you'd rather... Listen, when it's easy on the flesh, most of the time a whole lot don't happen. It's when you have to put down that flesh and do it anyway. This past week, we had a good service. I preached over our Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night. While I was praying, I said, God, do something in this church. We was having a pretty good service. We'd had a couple saved. And Wednesday I prayed. And Wednesday was a rough day. First thing, I was sick. And I don't, you know, y'all know, I ain't never had to miss church for being sick. Never. Never except that time I was in the hospital for just a flu or something like that. I better shut my mouth, but the Lord just been good to me that I just don't get, you know, and when I do get sick, I just keep going and it goes away. Before I got saved, if I got sick, I'd go play ball for about 2 hours and sweat it out. And now I just go preach for 2 hours and sweat it out. And the Lord just takes care of it. Did you know? I felt terrible Wednesday. My soul, I felt like something had beaten me. And me and Brother Dale had an important meeting over the financial ends. We ain't got tied up with this church yet. And my soul, that about drove me crazy and gave me a headache. And I was a-hurting. And I got up early. And it felt like my... It felt, honestly... I think you've prayed for me Wednesday night. Some of you must have. But I was scared to death I was going to get hoarse. I said, I'm going to church. Ain't no doubt about that. I'm just afraid I'll get hoarse and they can't hear me. Because one of the hardest things to do when you got the flu or something is holler. That's what your voice, it just disappears. And I said, Lord, help my voice. Lord, help me. Don't let me get hoarse. And I said, like old Gary one time, he came up to me and said, Brother Danny, pray for me. I got a hoarse in my throat. That's the way I felt. And I went around swallowing all day. You know that? You get a little tickling feeling right here, and all you want to do is swallow. Like that. And I drank water, and I drank Coke, and I was going continually something on my throat. We fooled around with that mess, and got and my wife is down here working on cleaning up my office, and we went and got a bottle of lunch, and I come back, and I tried to study, and it was one thing right after another, and one thing, and then the van tore up. And I couldn't get it started. And it wasn't started. It's still messed up. And this happened and that happened. I took it up to Rob and said, can you fix it? And about that time, while we was gone uptown, a guy called. Now listen to this. A guy calls on the telephone. Says he's out here at the interstate, going 200 miles from here, as wanting help. Is the pastor in? I told my wife, I said, I'll be back in just a minute. We'll go get something to eat. She said, no, he's not in right now. I said, well, she said, he said, when can I talk to him? She said, about an hour. She figured we'd be back from eating in about an hour. About that time, I walked in. Said, well, come on, let's go eat. And so I said, here, let me have the phone. She said, here, it's for you. I said, hello. He said, who's this? I said, it's the pastor. He said, I thought you wasn't there. I said, I just got back. He said, your wife said you wouldn't be back for an hour. She didn't say that. She said, you can talk to him in an hour. And he gave me down the road, brother. That old boy let me have it. Well, I'll tell you one thing. I don't think Christians ought to lie. And I said, can I help you, sir? And he said, evidently not. And he just gave me a tongue lashing. And I just blah, blah, blah. And I was trying to say, wait. I was trying to explain. He said, she said you was gone. I said, I was gone. He said, but you said this. You're gone. And I, bam, hung the phone up. I thought, boy, that'll help our testimony. She said we're 200 miles here. I said, who cares, man? I was trying to help that nut. And I felt terrible. Felt like somebody had been beating on me. I couldn't get the crazy thing, van to run. Had to borrow my sister's car to get to church. And ran up here and I met Brother Paul and Ken there. And then they went with me that night. And I was all to pieces. And I said, God, you're going to have to help me. I've run around all day. Lord, I've really been trying to do what you... Lord, I ain't been out sinning. I ain't been doing what I want to do. I ain't been laying around. God, I've really tried to do what you want me to do. And I felt terrible. I felt like when I got up and started talking, I might pass out. I was getting real dizzy. And I ain't been talking about 5 minutes. The Son, the Holy Ghost come in that place. I ain't kidding you, brother. God moved on that service, and that is the most powerful service I'd been in quite some time. It felt like every time I'd say a word, it was like a bomb. They'd go, boom! And people just sat there like, yes. And when I said, let's bow our heads, we didn't have no music. We didn't have no singing. There wasn't a bunch of commotion like they are here tonight and babies cutting up. It was dead, cold, quiet, 4 o'clock in the morning, brother.
And people started getting up, coming to that altar. One right after another. People started going to that altar, and I mean 30 and 40 people, and brother a bawling, and then they started singing after I turned over the preacher, and people started going all over the church, getting right with each other. There's a hugging neck. People was going like apologizing for things they'd said about each other. And son, God got in that thing and it broke loose. I said, that's just like Him.
Sometimes when you feel your worst and you don't feel like going, and brother, that's when God's going to do something big. Every time you put forth a special effort.
I told him, I said, next time I said, folks, y'all don't know. I had to borrow a car to get here. I felt terrible. This happened, that happened.
And God the Holy Ghost just took charge. I'm saying this, folks. When you get to where you don't think you can go, and you've done everything you know to do, and you've said everything you know to say, you stand back and watch God Almighty move.
Next, it was that night, I believe, come home, phone rung again. This happens all the time, but it's funny the way it happened twice in one evening like that. Some lady out the rest, truck stop, passing food, wanting help. I said, well, listen, lady, I ain't going to mess with her. I ain't going to go out there and talk to some woman out there. That's the last thing I need to be seen out there. So I dumped this one off on Sister Muff. Bless her heart. Where you at, Muff? Is she in here? Oh, back yonder she is. I said, there's a lady right down the road there. I'd be glad to help you. She said, I'm traveling somewhere and I've got my two kids in the back. We ain't got no money and I'm out and my husband beat me up. And you know, people call like that all the time. You wouldn't believe the calls we get like that. You wouldn't believe it. I don't know if they just flip through the phone book or they go downtown and say, who's the biggest suckers in town? But we get them all the time. Between them and missionaries, man, I get it all week long. And you know what I done?
You know, I had confidence in her. I wouldn't. They, some of you ladies, I wouldn't have dared told her to call.
Nothing personal. I love you and everything, but you're such a grouch.
You'd have blessed her out and then got mad at me.
Oh, you wouldn't let it been known, but you would have. She called Sister Muff and they sent her up 10. I think Steve wound up taking it, didn't he? Melanie did. Bless your heart. Sister Melanie here had to wind up taking her the $10 and put her on her way and give her some gas.
But you know, I'm glad somebody cares. That's what being a Christian is.
People's up here working from 8 o'clock yesterday morning to 10 o'clock last night. 10:30 last night. So I meet girls. Bless her heart. I appreciate these teenage girls and them boys. Worked on the bus yesterday. Where they at? Where them sorry boys at? There's one of them. Where's the other one at? Oh, sitting right beside him. See them two Ratfords right yonder? Them boys stayed up here and worked all day yesterday. Now ain't that something? As mean as they are, they can come up here and work all day for Jesus.
Where you girls at? Raise y'all's hands. One, two. See them way back yonder? They stamped tracks so they had tracks come out their ears yesterday.
They put little cards inside of them and said, somebody cares, and announced our revival. 9,000 of them. Got them in rubber bands in there ready to go.
I appreciate that. God will bless them. What would happen if nobody cared?
Jack Chick would never wrote a track if nobody cared. There would never be a bus route if nobody cared. There would never be a sermon preached if nobody cared. I'll ask you a question tonight. What would happen to our churches? I usually have to preach, you know, but I love sometimes just to sit down and listen to somebody else preach. When I sit down, I know what it's like to be up here in a bunch of commotion going on, so I try my best to take care of things. If there's a baby decide to be cutting up, I try to calm it down, do something with it, you know. Last time I was in a service, I believe it was, when somebody else was preaching, there's a lady had a little old baby in front of me, and it was going, Everything I got.
And I said, shut up. I was wanting to say, hush, you little brat. But you know what I done?
It was up in the pew in front of me, and I caught it looking at me, and I went. And it went. And I sat there and done that for I don't know how long. I just went. And I did like it.
I'm glad somebody didn't see me. They thought I had a twitch or something. You know, but I said,
I got him quiet.
I said, somebody behind me might be wanting to hear the gospel. I mean, how can you just sit there and not even care what happens? What happened if nobody cared?
I heard a guy, old Jack Howell, some man went soul winning one time, and he set this lady down, and he said, now ma'am, there's only four things you got to know to get saved. The first one is here. The baby said, I want my Bible. She said, excuse me. She went to the kitchen, heated up the baby's bottle, and put it, laid him down in its crib, stuck it in its mouth. Okay, now ma'am, there's only four things you got to know to get saved. Number one, baby goes, I want my Bible. She gets up to me, takes the baby's bottle back, sets it in the refrigerator, comes back and sits down. He starts talking to her. Now, ma'am, as I say, I'm right here. What? I want my Bible. She said, excuse me. And went on like that over and over and over and over. And he said, he was sitting there and he said, Lord, please shut that baby up so I can witness this woman winning with the Lord. And he said, all of a sudden, son, that baby just got quiet. Never made another move. He was sitting there saying, glory to God. Hallelujah! Did you see the Lord move on that kid? And to make a long story short, the lady got saved. They were driving to him, and his partner was driving down the road in the car, and he said, I'll tell you one thing, glory to God, I never believed in prayer so much in my life. He said, I had just got through praying, God had quietened that baby down, and it just froze. Did you see that? And his partner's over here going, yeah, I seen it. He said, it might have been your prayers, but he said, it might have been also that the whole time you was witnessing that woman, I was down behind the coffee table going, ah, yeah. Oh, you over here. He's down there going, like that. He said that might have had something to do with it. Now, he said that other fella will get more reward in heaven than he will. He's one showed her how to get saved. I mean, there's a million things you can do.
If you care. You know what makes some preachers great? Who can't even preach as good as some preachers that ain't great?
They care about people.
That's the difference! That's the difference!
And I'll tell you what, this town, a lot of people in this town may not like us.
They may criticize us. They may point out our faults. But God forbid that it would ever be said that we don't care. Jesus said, by this shall all men know you're my disciple. You want to find out who's for real? If you love people, brother. Love one another.
I'll tell you what we're going to do this evening. I want you to bow your heads. We're going to give just a brief invitation. Somebody come. The musicians come. We're not going to have any singing right now.
We're just going to pray just a few minutes. If you want to come to the altar and pray, you come. If you want to sit there at your seat, that's fine. There's a lot of muck in that song a while ago. She sits down in the rain and wonders, does anybody really care? What would happen? Hey, bus workers. Bus workers. Sunday school teachers, Lady told me the other day, she said, I'm going to bring my kids to Sunday school, see if they like it. That means some Sunday school teacher. Some Sunday school teacher, if you have a good class, will determine whether that family comes to the church or not. What about it, Sunday school teachers? I'm going to pray. Father, thank you for these that are coming. Lord, you know what we need now, and God, I pray you'd help us to do it. I believe most of these people here tonight are willing to do for you and do what they can. I just pray you'd help us to do it. God, the devil try every way in the world he can to hinder us. I pray that he will not be able to do it. Help these on the altar tonight. Help them. Help them, dear God. Help them, dear God. Whatever you do for them, we'll praise you and thank you. While these are still praying tonight, heads are bowed and eyes are closed, there'll be someone here tonight say, Brother Danny, I've been guilty. I just sit around and worry about my problems all the time. And I need to get my mind off my problems and start caring about somebody else. Pray for me. Slip up your hand. God bless you. God bless your hands going up all over the building. I'll tell you one thing. If you've got problems, the best thing to do is go out and witness. It won't be long till you'll be thanking God for as good a shape as you're in. What happened if nobody cared? What would happen if nobody cared? Hey, would you know about the Bible if nobody cared enough to have told you? I wouldn't have. Thank God there's some old men that blazed the trail, studied the book, and preached it. I could sit at their feet and listen. Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody cared. Wait just a few seconds if you need to come. You can look up here right now. While these are still praying, I want to go over some things we're going to be doing. We don't usually